I'm Hannah, and this is Graveyard Gathering, my own little writing graveyard where things are aged, knocked over, and imperfect. A place for my work as a necromancer to explore all of the things with death and great morbidity and, I'm sure, lots of grave mistakes. Come gather around. I'd love to talk to you. Okay, let's gather around the graveyard. I've got stuff to talk about. Okay, so as a necromancer, I think it makes sense that I resonate a lot with the spiritualist movement, but it's interesting to me because growing up, we had a spiritualist camp in our community. And if you understand like little Midwestern areas, that's not always super popular. And it was definitely this like weird, obscure thing. It was like the haunted town within our town. I live in the heart of the Midwest, right in Iowa, and there's a church on every corner. So for anything majorly occult to get a foothold here is a challenge. Actually, our local spiritualist community was prayed out of town, so to speak. But see, my town was founded by lumber barons, and at one point there was a huge opulent society that occupied this tiny little Midwestern town. And the popularity of the spiritualist movement in the late 1800s and early 1900s left its mark in this little Iowa town. Now, by the time I came along, I was completely enmeshed in that Christian normity. I grew up Episcopalian and then moved into a cult later. And not the occult like the fun cult. No, the occult like we're a cult. It was bad. I've said it different places, but my church was literally referred to as the cult in the cornfield. And at the time, I just thought that was a funny, like, yeah, they think we're a cult. And now I'm like, oh, nope, we were a cult. We were a charismatic Christian cult that focused a lot on patriarchy. So in my growing up and youthful experience, I knew intercessors who would like walk our town to pray against the spiritualist camp. My mother did that. It was never a thing that I was particularly curious about. I always just thought, oh, those are just people who, those are other people who talk to dead people. But like, I never thought that that was particularly for me. Sure, it was like a taboo thing, but I wasn't a kid who was like, no, I want to know what they're about. No, I was big into Jesus, man, for a long time. I happened to stumble upon spiritualism because I was listening to somebody else's podcast. Go check out Occult Confessions. That's one of my favorite podcasts around. And it's done by Rob, who's a PhD in occult studies. I have such a boner for that guy. An academic mental boner. I don't know him. I don't have a personal boner. But while perhaps subliminally there were things about the spiritualist movement that I was curious about, it really wasn't until I actually heard the things that they were supposed to be about well into my own practice of necromancy that I was like, oh, this shit kind of resonates for me. But here's a thing to understand about the Theosophical Society. I'm not correcting that. You're going to hear me go blah, blah, blah. The Theosophical Society is a hard thing to say, but from them to the spiritualist movement, to the Chevaliers, to Emma Britton, all these different writers in this particular period where we are getting we have a lot of modern influence. Star Seeds, that's some shit that we pull from Blavatsky. And Blavatsky, she wrote Isis Unveiled, the Chevalier wrote Ghostland. These were really big in the developing period of my own community, but in the spiritualist movement when this shit was really popular. And I think that echoes to the fact that New Age spirituality is also, we call it New Age. Again, that's like language from back in the cult times, but whatever. We mix these things up. We take bits and pieces of information and then we build our own spiritualities around all of these different things that influence our culture and who we are and what information we have access to. Blavatsky specifically influenced modern culture in her time and then has had so many ripples she has influenced culture now. Again, we get Star Seeds and, I don't know, Lumieres or whatever this. I don't understand enough about all that stuff. Those things stem from Blavatsky. And one of the criticisms of those things is that they are rooted in white supremacy. So there's important context to understand about all of the different spiritual information that we gather.
Blavatsky wrote about root race theory. And the thing to understand about root race theory is that she wasn't talking about the different human races. She was talking about specific humanoid races. However, what she couldn't control is the way people would take her writings and run with them. So by the time modern starseed stuff comes around, you have people using these kinds of things eugenically. You have people using these things as justifications for oppression. And when we talk a lot about cultural appropriation, Blavatsky traveled all around, was influenced heavily by gurus and spiritual folks from all over the world, and then created her own spirituality based on that. And that was written in a time where we weren't having conversations about cultural appropriation. She could just go to places, steal their spirituality, and regurgitate whatever she wanted. And she didn't do that alone. Parts of her book, Isis Unveiled, she dictated things to her partner, and he would, like, regurgitate that in a different way. I will be 1000% with you. I haven't read the entirety of Isis Unveiled because it's dry. That's why I really like podcasts like Occult Confessions, because it goes through these important works in ways that are a lot much easier to digest. But what Blavatsky started, she liked mixing spiritualism and occultism together. And I don't agree with everything she says. I don't agree with everything that the spiritualism movement says. That's how we evolve. So I have taken something that somebody else took and took somebody else's spirituality, made it their own, took somebody else's spirituality and made it their own, took somebody else's spirit, because we all don't really have an understanding of what's going on, but we're all trying to. Well, all of these different pathways that we have, all these different spiritual movements, I personally am very Unitarian, universal in my belief system that we are all simply trying to make sense of our world. And we understand typically that there is a spiritual component, an unseen component, but we all are trying to make sense of it in the best way we can. And that is interpreted by who we are, how we grow up, our environment, our culture, etc. And that is a specific way that I veer off from Blavatsky and writers of their time. Blavatsky and the Chevalier, they talk about my way is the only way. And that is a very Western Christianized viewpoint. I recall growing up in church hearing, you know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the only way. The only way through the Father is through me, et cetera, et cetera. I prefer to be less limited in my interpretations of spirituality. I think that we have many ways of coming to similar conclusions. The spiritualist movement believes that all of the types of spiritual entities that we're interacting with are dead people. It's everything be dead people. Blavatsky was like, nah, it's not all dead people. It's like elemental spirits and the fairies and different trickster things pretending that they're dead people, but they're not even really dead people. And that is because necromancy is hard. So many different ways of spirituality are communicating energetically. So when we communicate physically, we already have different languages and different styles of communication. Look at all the ways someone may have different dialects, different accents, different slang. We have people who speak non-verbally. We have people who prefer to use body language over verbal communication. You have people who prefer verbal communication over body communication. You have people who... So then you have energetic communication. So you have spirits who may only want to communicate you olfactorily. And y'all, I will be getting crazy annoyed when spirits only want to communicate with me through smells. I'll be like, what, you want food? What is this? And you're just trying to tell me you're hanging out? I need more information. Animals, specifically animals that have strong senses of smell, can communicate really well and get a lot of information through smell. We attach smell heavily through memory. It can bring us back into a previous space. It is a powerful tool of claircognizance, clairvoyant, whatever. I don't know what olfactory voyance is. I don't have that shit memorized, guys. But it's an important form of communication. But when it's the only one you're getting, oh, man. So we can come up with 500 different forms of divination because we're all experiencing something that we can't explain. But with 500 forms of divination, you're still going to get 500 different interpretations. And everything about necromancy is like a terrible game of telephone. So you could have spirit giving the same information to more than one interpreter, and they're going to give you information differently, just the same way that you have witnesses who eyewitness a car crash and can tell you completely different stories about what went down. We are not, as humans, great at clear communication. Our personal bias and our perception affect everything about the way we communicate. And then we want to talk to dead people and think that none of that applies? The spiritual world is as vast as the physical one. There is a hell of a lot of shit out there. So for me as a practitioner, my thing is, I'm not going to automatically assume anything is wrong. I'm not going to automatically assume anything is true or being presented to me without a bias or perception attached to it. Everything we get is through every different lens available. So then you have a needle in a stack of needles, or rather a picture in a stack of lenses. That cannot make things more clear often. Just because you can zoom in and spyglass something with 500 different filters on it does not mean that the automatic picture that you're seeing is the correct one. It's one with a bunch of different filters on it. So we have been given an availability of different education and information at different points in history. This directly informs our spiritual understanding of the world. I think that my pagan ancestors, who were very in tune with nature and changing of the seasons, probably had a depth that I do not in their relationship with nature. But I may have a different relationship with humanity than they had because of my connection to humanity. I have an entirely digital electronic relationship that my ancestors cannot possess because technology as it exists now did not exist for them. But I take that relationship and apply it to the folk magic and practices that I have that hearken and return me to my ancestors. And all of it is valid. But one of the things I have seen throughout the ages, I see it on Modern Witch Talk, I see it in the digital age of information, I see it back in the spiritualist movement with Blavatsky and Britton and the Chevalier, it's everybody wants to be right. And this can create such a narrowed focus that we get caught up in a dispute of trifles, missing the bigger message. What is that? Well, I can't define that shit for you, man. I can tell you that I think the bigger message is that we should have a spiritual practice. Having a spiritual practice, even if you're not connecting with a deity, even if you are just taking time to be reflective and a part of the universal fabric, that is just as important as your worship and ritual. I think it's the journey of trying to connect being sometimes much more important than the disputes that we have over trifles and being correct. I cannot fucking tell you always if I'm talking to somebody dead or if I'm talking to an entity. Sometimes I can't fucking tell. Sometimes that shit is clear as day and I can call out exactly what it is. To me, that is the point of continuing to practice. I'm gonna get better and better at my discernment as I fucking go on. Even when I am a master at one thing, I will not be a master of all things. So there is always room to learn and grow and gain more wisdom. There is not enough lifetimes to fit in all of the knowledge that I would really like to have. But you can read and consume knowledge like it is your job. But if you are never putting the applicable practices in, you're still missing a critical part. That's where I love the Indiana Jones quote. Well, sometimes you got to get out of the library. Research is important. It's critical. It is how we know what to do when we're in any sort of experience. But if you're just collecting the knowledge and never having the experience, I mean, okay, that's cool, but you're missing out.
I like to take information and learn from scholars and writers. I loved reading Ghostland by the Chevalier. We don't know really who wrote it. I kind of think it might have been Emma Hardridge Britton, but it was written in a time where women as authors weren't particularly as respected. So a anonymous chevalier who was a man who could write all these experiences strikes me as, you know, I could understand a pseudonym there, but I don't really have any other like academic basis for that observation. As I frequently say whenever I make observations, I didn't go to college, guys. So, you know, the fuck do I know? I'm out here with a 12th grade education.
But at least I wasn't a child left behind.
But I loved the parts of Ghostland that I read. It was also hard to read, so, like, I didn't get through the whole book. But I find these documented experiences tend to resonate with me, but I have to also take the context of the time. So not everything Blavatsky wrote is something that I find resonates for me. Not everything that the Chevalier wrote resonates for me. But I also find commonality in practitioners who have experience with things that they couldn't see and were trying to make an understanding of. And also, some of these people were trying to get noticed, trying to get fame, trying to be something within their own society and group. Blavatsky did some cool things, but as I have learned about her, she also strikes me as someone who had a really big ego. But I'm down for a boss bitch, and in many ways, Blavatsky was a boss-ass bitch. She was also a white woman born of privilege who had the opportunity to do a lot of what she wanted to do. And we miss a lot of the profound things that many women of color, for example, have in their philosophy and spiritualities because they weren't born into the same privilege that writers like Blavatsky were. That is why I find grandmotherly folk magic to be so important. And I think that we should elevate the voices of women of color today who are sharing their knowledge and things from their grandmothers, because so often society has been deliberately, systematically against those parties. And so spaces that would have uplifted their writing, uplifted and created nourishment for them to spread their love and nourishment around, didn't exist, except within their own communities. But as we see time and time again in history, in areas where white supremacy then takes over the power structure and systems, women of color specifically, often get stomped out. And when we talk about the way that we need to understand spirituality, one of the things that I think is so important is that we are a world people. We like to separate ourselves with our different identities, but we are world people. So the spiritual practices of someone else in the world are still incredibly valuable. They're also people. But see, when we get into systems and structures that want to say, well, no, they're different. We're the normal people. They're the other ones. What they're doing must be bad. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. I think it's important for people who practice necromancy to have a more universal understanding because of the fact that you are going to likely encounter spirits who believed differently than you do. And I guess there are probably death witches and necromancers out there that only want to talk to their skin folk and their kinfolk. Okay. Again, I say, wow, you're really missing out on a lot of the flavor. But then again, there can be some practitioners out there who are like, I was a person of color in a past life. They never say person of color, but that's, I was one of them in a past life. So I can talk about their issues now, even though I'm going to say things that don't relate to any of the people who are experiencing the problems that are caused here. But yeah, so I was a person of color in a past life, and I'm going to tell you that they're all whiner. Like, that's a thing that people do. Don't do that. Because see, I've had spirits be like, oh yeah, no, we're kindred on a past life situation, and they're not all white, but that does not give me any right as me as this particular spiritual entity to speak on behalf of any of that, because in this body, in this entity, I'm not. Relationships with those spirits certainly help me empathize and gain understanding into the world, but that's it. It's seriously just a situation of, oh, thank you for that perspective because I didn't have it before. Full stop. I think it's just, I don't know, we all walk around in the world differently, but I frequently find that folks don't walk around in the world. They stomp, and they'll stomp on somebody else's face before taking a look around. And what we do in the spiritual realm, you got to be careful where you decide to walk, much less stomp, because there's shit that will stomp your ass back and hard. But if you walk around in the physical plane frequently unchecked, you will think that you have the ability to stomp around in the spiritual one. That's the thing. That's the thing that I see happening. And those humility lessons will chap your ass.
So, you know, wherever you're treading, tread lightly. Be respectful. Full stop.
So there's room for universal truths and universal things that we will find in the different ways that we all express and live out spirituality. But even though they're all valid, they're not all necessarily for us individually. And where I think that we can find the most common ground and find a great way to have balance is finding the things that are universal that we can look at. Love, for example, is one of those universal things. Acting with love and kindness in the various ways that you live your life is a universal principle that you are not bound. So if you are wanting to do a ritual practice and, okay, say you want to bring more love into your life, you can be stupid and create someone's obsession for you because you have exerted your will inappropriately. Or you can also put different ingredients together and set your intentions and work on creating more and more invitations to bring love into your life. And the way that you do that may be similar to other specific practices, but if you're just operating under universal bases and universal truths, then you're not tiptoeing in waters that you shouldn't be. It becomes problematic when you take something that is specific to someone's cultural practice and experience and you rip it off. There are oftentimes many doors to the same fucking thing. Find your door, man. You don't gotta go shove your way through somebody else's. So, all right, this is season 2. It's the end of the year and I'm finally putting some effort into it. So if you bother to listen to me, thanks for hanging out, guys. Coming up this season, I'm hoping I can finally get my husband to sit down and talk about the different ways that he has been a death bringer and the various ways that he is a necromancer in his own right and in his own practice, which is in tandem and in partnership with mine, but he is very, very different in practice than I am. I'm going to let you know about some upcoming projects. I'm finally writing a book. We'll see how that goes. 5 years down the line, I might have something concrete. I am writing a book. It's called, working title, The Demonic Sermons, because I wanted to throw a really taboo label on it. I sit in church every Sunday because of my job and listen to sermons. And frequently have throughout my childhood wondered what kind of sermons I would be writing if I were in that pastoral seat. And while this podcast is certainly an extension of that, I'm actually going to be putting some of those things to paper. I'm also doing a mentorship thing. So shout out to the beautiful and wonderful Carrie. I hope you don't mind the shout out because I didn't ask you beforehand. I'm super excited. I am writing down some of our Sunday school reflections in keeping with my demonic sermons theme. And as I go through, I will be making some of these available to different folks who are looking at writing prompts and prompts to develop their craft. And lastly, but certainly not leastly, I'm going to start an OnlyFans, but it's not going to be like spicy. I know. Hey, you know what? I might throw my boobs in there once in a while just for good measure, but I am looking at starting a Baneful Practice OnlyFans. I wanted something on an 18-only site so that a lot of my Baneful Practices would not be in the hands of minors, and I'm going to be posting a lot of content there, and a lot of it is justice seeking and balancing work because that's primarily where I use Baneful Magic, and specifically in a lot of healing with sexual abuse survivors. And so that will be the site. I'm considering possibly doing a Patreon instead because I know that for many sex abuse survivors, a porn site is less than ideal. So I'm floating that around. If you are a TikTok friend or a social media friend, feel free to give me a DM and tell me your thoughts on platforms. Finally, shout out to my friend Noah. A fellow practitioner, a source of constant encouragement, and a continued supporter of this podcast. I am so grateful for your friendship and for the fact that you listen to my stupid ramblings. You are a treasured gift. Thank you so much.
There's going to be good discussion coming. There is going to be eventually maybe even a group chat where we can all sit around and talk shit. I would love to get more community, specifically with Death Witch practitioners, And if you're ever interested in sitting down and having a discussion with me on this podcast, I'm on social media. You can find me. Check out and search for Graveyard Gathering. I'm around. All right. Until we do this again. Thanks. Bye-bye.
All of the extra music for my podcast is my father, the great musician, Rex Stratton, and you can find him on Spotify, on YouTube, or wherever you get your music. Give him a listen. It'll make his year. Thanks so much. This is Hannah with Graveyard Gatherings.
All of the extra music for my podcast is original music from my dad, Rex Stratton, and you would make his year if you gave any of his music a listen on YouTube or Spotify. Today's song is near and dear to my heart, one of my favorites. I picked it because I love it so much. Rollin' the Clover Rover from his first album, Santa at the Gulag. This has been Graveyard Gatherings. See you at the next one. So this is Hannah of Graveyard Gatherings. Thanks for being here. I'll see you at the next one.